Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. But first, two very important questions. Have you ever tried to stack marbles while wearing boxing gloves? Also, did you know that marigolds and geraniums hate each other?
Absolutely.
And now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. This is the show. There's no singing and dancing today. I apologize. Our budget cut really has affected what we're able to do. Chris and Albin, you're not even wearing costumes. You're in your civilian clothes. It's kind of a bare bones show, but the information that we're going to give out today, I think will be very encouraging to people who are concerned with what's happening in this country. Let me start.
I'm still having technical difficulties
here. I know. Okay, I can see that, but that's it'll all work itself out. Sure. It's all going to burn, Albin. Don't worry about it. Here we all go. Right. I want to encourage people. I got a letter yesterday. I won't mention the name of the friend, but I have many, many friends who are serious Christians who think I've, gone plumb loco by sticking my neck out for this president or whatever. And, I want to be clear. To me, it's not about this president. It's about America. It's always been about America. And I will go even farther and say, for me, it's never about America. It's about God. It's about the God of Scripture who moves in history. And I want to say that even though we know this nation is not perfect, I don't have any doubt that a nation that fought against the tyranny of King George III, a nation where people gave their lives for this idea of liberty, this idea of we the people governing ourselves, that is a noble idea in history. It's a rare idea in history. I wrote about it in my book, If You Can Keep It, which I do recommend, even though I wrote it, because I think when you understand that stuff, you don't see God in a vacuum. You don't say there's this religious thing over here and God's all about that kingdom and he doesn't care about this kingdom. The kingdoms are related. God works in history. God frees the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. Do we doubt that God was on the side of those who wanted to abolish slavery in America? Do we say God has no position on these political issues? Well, they're not political issues. They're moral issues that involve the political. Does anybody doubt that if you were a Jew in the 30s in Germany, you hoped that Christians would take action, even if their friends spat on them and said, you're a fool, you're an idiot, you ought not to be getting involved in politics. Who do you think you are? God has set his authorities in place. It says in Romans 13, it's very clear. I guess, folks, I have a different view than those folks. And my heroes also have a different view. William Wilberforce was completely scorned by the Christian establishment of his day. It was only the screwball Christians, the people who really believed in what the Bible said, who were willing to spend their lives fighting for the abolition of the slave trade. In the time of Bonhoeffer, he felt extremely alone. He knew that all kinds of people looked at him and thought he's crazy, except he knew he wasn't. And he said, I've got to play to an audience of one. I've got to do what I believe God is calling me to do. And I know that I and many in this country feel that way. We say, look, I've lost friends over this issue. And it's not like that doesn't matter. It hurts. But how can you not do the right thing when not just the Republic is at stake, but you understand that the entire world is at stake, that there are people in Hong Kong and North Korea and all over Africa and Europe and South America and other parts of Asia looking at this country and this election and hoping that we remain the beacon of freedom that we have been privileged to be. Now, it is my faith in the God of Scripture that leads me to these things. This is not as though I've set that aside to become political. And so I just want to at least be on the record as stating that, because there are many people, some of whom used to be dear friends, who are convinced that I have either gone nuts or I've just thrown aside what I should care about and I've gotten political or something. That's absurd. I want to say that it seems clear to me that there have been shenanigans in this election of great significance. These shenanigans, I'm using that term, which is a very nice term, are not the kind of thing we are free to accept. When we see these things, when I see the witnesses that the Trump team has called up to the microphone, when you read the affidavits of these people, and then you know that there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of similar affidavits of people insisting that they saw with their own eyes and perceived malfeasance in this process, how do you dismiss this? I would say to those of you willing to dismiss it, you don't have the right to dismiss it. There is enough here that you ought at least to demand investigation, so that if you actually believe Biden won, if you're so convinced, you shouldn't be afraid of transparency. And yet we have tons of people that are saying, no, we can't look at it. We can't look, we mustn't look at it. I would say you're the ones that look suspicious, because why ought we not to look at it? Because you just want to rush to judgment. That seems to be constantly where we go. The other day on my brief interview, pseudo conversation with the president of the United States, I said, Jesus is with us in this battle for liberty, because I believe the God of Scripture has always cared about it. Solzhenitsyn didn't doubt that God was on the side of truth and liberty and against tyranny and the abuse of power. How can we doubt that? And why do we doubt that? And why are people who bring it up smeared or marginalized as crazy?
Can I say this? They spent 4 years looking at Russia, and they won't spend 4 weeks looking at this fraud allegation.
Millions of people are saying this. John Zmirak has been going on and on and on about this, but these people don't—they don't even want to think about that. They're just like, forget about that. We're not going to talk about that. How can we forget about it? This nation was gaslighted for years on the most ridiculous, flimsiest information and evidence, and it went nowhere. And of course, now when the chips are down and the shoe's on the other foot, nobody can bother. So I just wanted to say that, folks, we do the best we can. We believe that God cares about these things, and we believe in prayer, and we believe he's the God of history. And so I don't want anybody ever to think that I would be okay with, you know, oh, I'm just going to get political because I feel like it or because it's good for business. God forbid. I pray that God would strike me dead if I took a step in that direction. So, you know, unless I'm blowing smoke. Now, let me remind you, our guest in both hours today is Roger Stone. Very excited. We're going to have him in hour one and then in hour two again. So he'll be coming up at the end of this segment. I want to remind you, please, folks, to go to mypillow.com and mystore.com. Support our sponsor, Mike Lindell. Mypillow.com, mystore.com. Use the code Eric. If you don't get the Muggsy books at mystore.com, oh, you're crazy. And CSI, we are doing this month a huge fundraiser for Christian Solidarity International. You want to do something that's going to make you feel good, something glorious. We have the opportunity to free actual slaves today in South Sudan. Folks, if you don't do this, you are missing an opportunity. Go to our website, metaxastalk.com. Please do not miss this opportunity. We very, very infrequently get an opportunity like this. Go to metaxastalk.com, give to CSI. We'll be right back with Roger Stone. Oh, hello. Welcome, folks. This is the second segment of the second hour, and I get to continue our conversation with Mr. Roger Stone. Roger, welcome back.
Great to be here.
Look, before we get on to serious stuff, I just want to tell you that I purchased a copy of your book, Stone's Roger Stone's Rules.
Yes.
You didn't send me a copy. I send you copies of my books, but I would never expect you to reciprocate, because I know that, you're a busy man. But can I tell you something? I never howl with laughter reading Roger Stone's Rules. I howled with laughter at many points in that book. You are very, very funny. Now, some of the book is vulgar. Some of the book, now that you're a born again Jesus freak, you might pull back on some of that. You wrote this book a couple of years ago, but I just wanted to say, I just died laughing. I said, I've got to tell you that. It was nobody makes me howl with laughter. You managed to pull it off.
Well, look, I have no doubt you'll be selling your copy on eBay tonight. So I'm sorry that I didn't send you one, but Christmas is coming up, and maybe you've got a Christmas list of family members. I don't know.
I'm a Christian, and I've already forgiven you. I theologically, I'm obliged. I'm obliged, Roger. No, look. I really don't care about those books. I want the Tattersall vest, as you know. Actually, no, I don't look good in vests. Let's move on to much more. People, when we talk about this sartorial stuff, we're already letting people know our hidden past as friends of Dorothy. I met you in the Napoleon Club in Boston in the mid 80s. We can't talk about that. So let's move on to the election again.
But again, earlier, the important thing here is it's not just the vest. You see, it's the watch chain that's,
oh my God,
crucial in the whole look. But in any event,
I don't aspire to that level of dandyism. I'm not exactly Oscar Wilde. Now look, I want to talk to you about, you mentioned Kim Clement earlier. Yes. This brings up what for me is a central issue. In my experience, there are Christians and there are Christians. There are conservatives and then there are conservatives. Most of the Christians that I know sneer at the prophetic, at folks like Kim Clement saying in 2007 that a man from New York named Donald will win the presidency. For them, that's Nostradamus, that's looniness. Yeah. It's been my experience that there are many tremendously reputable prophets who have visions from God, who say things that I really believe are from God. And the people who say these things, they're flawed human beings, but I do believe God speaks through people. If you don't have that kind of faith, you can understand how many people would just want this all to go away. They've sort of sadly accepted Biden's fake victory, and they don't want to face this. And so you mentioned Tucker and Sean. Are you saying that they have been heroic in this fight?
Yes, that's exactly. I was praising them. I think they've both been great in helping bring the facts of the entire matter to the American public.
But beyond that, when
you come to national figures, people who are talking about this every day, well, let's see, you've got Alex Jones, you've got Pete Santilli in the center of the country, you've got a number of very fine people on conservative and Christian talk radio, but that's really about it. When it comes to mainstream video-based media, the armies of Pharaoh are pretty united. And there's we're up against it. There's no question about that.
There's a guy named Brannon Howes. I wasn't familiar with him. Do you know him? He has.
Can't say that I do.
He had on General Flynn and General Thomas McInerney.
Yes.
Talking about, you know, the kinds of things, and this is, of course, always the issue. People on the left or the never Trumper wing of the Republican Party, they want to dismiss this stuff as conspiracy theory. But what I don't understand is, why wouldn't anybody with, you know, you don't need to be any smarter than like an oak tree to know that China is evil, that the China Communist Party would do literally anything, including murder and torture their own people to keep power, which is what they do. Why wouldn't they do anything they could to get in a milksop puppet like Joe Biden to, if not do their bidding directly, not to get in the way of their doing what they want? So in other words, when people like General McInerney General Flynn talk about anything related to that, why do you suppose that gets no mainstream attention? I mean, you don't see General McInerney on Tucker Carlson.
No, but I think Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell and Mayor Giuliani and General Flynn himself actually have been doing a Herculean job of trying to get the truth out. So this media blockade, doesn't make distinction. It doesn't matter how august or how much authority or how much experience or how much expertise you have in the matter at hand, voter fraud, cyber manipulation of public opinion. The mainstream media is not going to cover you. They're not going to give you a forum to discuss that so they can continue this mass hypnosis. This is the third time we've seen it. One, we saw it in the campaign. Biden's ahead by 100,000 points. Trump can't possibly win based on his mishandling of COVID-19 and the mass exodus of suburban women. He's a certain loser. All of that was false. Step two, Hunter Biden, nothing to see, folks. The New York Times and NBC both said these emails were of questionable origins. No, they're not. There's no question about them whatsoever. They're accurate. They're real. They're genuine. And they contain proof of very serious international influence peddling by the vice president's son working with the vice president. But we had a blackout on that as well, lest it might affect the election. So we're still stuck in the same place where the mainstream media seeks to force this down our throats. And we've talked about what we can do. We have to prove that we have numbers. That is really the key, because they're trying to tell us that our support is dwindling, that the president's support is crumbling, that Republicans are ready to throw in the towel. That is not what I'm experiencing as I talk to our people across the country virtually every day. The fact that you can have a pop-up rally in Washington, you have no permit, you have no formal way to contact people other than social media saying be there, and hundreds of thousands of people show up, that shows you that citizen action can work. It shows that we should both be out on the streets in the public forum next weekend.
Well, this is important. And that's, again, why I'm grateful for you, because people are wondering what's going on. What can I do? Now, the prayer thing, I will say again, today is Wednesday, the 2nd of December. Tonight, I believe it's 8:00. I am participating in a global prayer outreach. It's a global prayer meeting. People can join by Facebook Live. These are very encouraging. And everybody who participates, I get these emails saying, thank you so much for doing this. I needed the encouragement. There is something that happens when you're around like-minded people, when you're around people who have hope and who know that God is able to do the right thing with regard to truth and freedom. He actually cares about those things. So I'm going to post that in an email today. It may be up by the time this airs, but I just think it's important for us to encourage each other. And you have done that, Roger, but it's, we have to admit that for folks that are not on our wavelength, wow, it looks bleak. It just looks over, and people are saying it is over, and you better, you know, get on the right side of history and forget about this Trump stuff.
Yeah, I reject that. I really do. I think that nothing's over till God says it is, and God hasn't ruled on this one yet. I have great faith that God has looked favorably on this country since its inception, because we have based the country on God's law, on God's entire philosophy. In God we trust, I believe, is on our money. The globalists haven't succeeded in taking that off yet, but they will. The point here is, when people ask me, what can I do? Prayer is always first on my list.
Amen.
My personal experience dictates to me that this really works. I know firsthand. I'm not gonna go into it in detail. Secondarily, contact your state legislature. Do not threaten them. Do not threaten them.
Forgive me. We're out of time, but we're going to tell people again, stoptheSteal.us. It's all there, folks. I'm begging you. Go there. Roger Stone, God bless you, my friend. Thank you.
Great to be with you, Eric. God bless you. Everything I could never say before. Yeah.
Investors seeking steady cash flow, ready to diversify? NRIA has grown to be one of the nation's leading specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted at 18 to 21%. That's right. You could receive steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. As their slogan says, they specialize in realty investing done right. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Learn how you can invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today and receive 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses. This is something savvy investors should research and consider. Call now 800-700-5483. That's 800-700-5483 or visit NRIA.net. Folks, I got some embarrassing news to share with you, but you know what? This is just the kind of a show where I don't care. I'm willing to lay my heart, you know, on the line. Here's the issue. Mike Lindell with My Pillow. You may notice that I have a bobblehead of him near me. He's here to remind all of us that when you go to MyPillow.com, you get whopping discounts if you use the code Eric. Okay. Now, there are a lot of people who haven't done that, and we have your names here. And Chris Himes and Albin pointed out to me that there's like three pages of you whose first name is Eric. You yourself, I mean, that's humiliating for me, that even though your name is Eric, you're still not willing to use the code Eric. I mean, if you don't want to use it because it's my name, use it because it's your name. But the point is that I see who you are. And I just feel humiliated by this. Please go to MyPillow.com. It's okay, Mike. It's going to be okay. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric. You're going to get whopping savings and really high quality products. Did I mention that? Thank you. Oh boy, do I have something exciting, folks! Somebody sent me a children's book not long ago. It hadn't yet been published. So I was able not only to get super excited about it, but to actually get my excitement on the back of it in the form of an endorsement. This is the kind of thing I have prayed for. That's all I'll say. I will introduce the women behind this. I have Brooke and Christian in front of me. Brooke Stanton and Christian Gartzke. Is that correct?
No, it's West.
West, much easier. West. Okay.
Yes.
Welcome both of you to this program. Look, you've created this amazing children's book, which I see as powerfully pro-life. But you don't present it that way. You're just putting science out there. But the good news is the science happens to back up the idea that, oh yes, it's a human being in mommy's stomach. So you've got to tell me, and I don't care which of one of you talks first, but how did you get this idea, and what is the company, and what else are you doing? I mean, this is really exciting.
Well, when you began as a science lesson for elementary school children. We were responding to requests from elementary school teachers, and it turned into this beautiful book. It is a grounding, fun eye-opener about human life and human development to children in a crazy, confusing world. But it is also an opportunity to really close the education gap that is powering this crisis of human life, if you will. And so the reason kind of why it's so important is because, as you said, science knows when the human life starts. And it's an objective, empirical, and contemporary scientific fact of the biological science of human embryology that has been known and documented for more than 100 years and even instituted, codified in 1942 in the Carnegie stages of human embryonic development. The Carnegie stages, so human embryologists view the Carnegie stages the same way that chemists view the periodic table of elements. Imagine trying to teach people about the ingredients that make up the universe without the periodic table of elements. So kind of that's what it's like to teach children about when a human life starts, or teach anyone about when a human life starts without knowing the Carnegie stages of human embryonic.
I was going to say, I talk about, for example, beryllium almost every day. Where would I be if people said, beryllium, that's too political, we can't talk about that? So you guys are talking about pure science. And so the title of the book, to be clear for my audience, is When You Became You. Now, this book, When You Became You, where is that available right now? You can just say everywhere.
Everywhere. Retailers everywhere. That's exactly okay. Right.
So now, When You Became You is the kind of a book you could share with somebody, I would guess, who is either not pro-life or who doesn't know where they stand or whatever, because it's just science. You're not presenting this as some spiritual worldview. It's a scientific view. You're coming from the point of view of science. Christian, what led you? Are the two of you are partners in this company to produce things like this?
Yes, we are. And what we found when we were doing this was that children are natural truth seekers. Children are naturally curious about themselves. And so we have so many books out there. If you walk into the bookstore, there are books about every scientific topic imaginable, but really nothing that teaches children about their own human development, their own story, where they can place themselves. And that really celebrates our shared humanity. And that's really important because, as you know, elementary school children are the culture makers. They are the ones who, later down the line are going to be making hopefully not uninformed decisions about related topics. So we have an opportunity right now to take them before they have experienced corrupt science or the absence of science and really tell them what science has known and documented, as Brooke said, for so long. There is universal consensus among human embryologists about this science. There is literally universal consensus. Human embryologists are the only scientists who are specialized in the early human being and his or her development. And they have universal consensus. This science is in every human embryology textbook. So it's not controversial. It's something that everybody should know, but it does in fact inoculate children against false information later on, which is important.
Well, I have to say, When You Became You, great title, When You Became You. I hope folks will get a copy. I'm actually old enough to remember before this was politicized, when I was a little kid, there was a Life magazine spread, when Life magazine was like the big thing, and they would do these huge, gorgeous photographic things. I remember my dad showing me, and this was not a political thing, but they had photographs of the embryos of the children in the womb. It was mind-blowing. It was so fascinating. And then, of course, in 1973, everything became totally politicized. So Life magazine would never have dreamt of putting something like this in Life magazine. I mean, it's kind of nuts.
Absolutely. One thing that we also wanted to share is that, so while science denial, kind of ignorance today is partly driven or largely driven by science denial going back to Roe, like you're just talking about, we feel that we have found that today, kind of this consensus gap, if you will, between science reality and public perception about when a human being begins to exist is really science education failure is kind of a major factor driving that consensus gap. And what we found that even though science knows and knowing matters, we know that knowing matters anecdotally, we know it because research has shown. Dr. Steve Jacobs out of the University of Chicago actually quantified that knowing matters in terms of, he found that, participants were asked whether there would be an impact if it became common knowledge that fetuses are biological humans at fertilization in terms of whether abortion rates would
be. Forgive me, I didn't realize we're going to a hard break. I will let you continue that as soon as we come back. Forgive me, we'll be right back, folks. Big stuff. Folks, we're back. I'm talking to Brooke and Christiane. I'm just going to use your first names because the title of the book, I want people to remember, it's When You Became You. It shows for kids, for anybody, what happens before a baby is born. It's beautiful. It's true. It's science. This is not some religious thing, folks. So I hope people will buy this book and donate it to their public libraries. I hope people will buy this book and donate it to their school libraries and just shut up about where you're coming from politically or religiously. This is a book about science, and everybody needs to see the science, and we need to forget about the political side of it because the science speaks for itself. So you were talking, Brooke, about the science, and you were quoting somebody saying that when people see this knowledge, when people understand this stuff, it really does affect them.
Yes. So Dr. Steve Jacobs out of the University of Chicago found that if it was more widely known that a human fetus is a human being from fertilization, destructive trends like abortion would decline. So science knows and knowing matters. And yet, despite that fact, according to a recent Marist poll, about 60% of Americans do not know that a human life starts at fertilization. And more than 4 in 10 Americans do not even know that a human fetus is a human being. Worse, 23% of 18 to 22-year-olds think a human life starts at birth, and only 9% of young Democrats know that a human life starts at fertilization. So it's kind of like there's this massive consensus gap between science reality and public perception, and it's getting worse. And so education is really a huge lever that we really need to be leaning into. And this book is one way we can kind of start solving for that. But obviously, Christiane, as you and I talk about all the time, science education standards is really where we need to go in terms of kind of solving for this massive gap.
Well, it's become so politicized that I think the two of you, your names are on the book. But the illustrator, who has done a glorious job, elected to take their own name off of the book because the people around them said, no, this is too political. I mean, that's mind blowing. We're talking about art, and we're talking about scientific reality. You don't need to like the reality, but it is scientific reality. It's like, I'm going to talk about science. They had to take their name off the book. That's how sick our situation is right now in our culture.
That's exactly what happened. We actually contracted a New York Times best-selling illustrator, and she's based out of China. We dealt with her counterparts here and submitted the manuscript. She agreed to do it twice because she was expensive. We needed to raise the money and go back to her. And you can see, as you said, from the images that she clearly understood what we were trying to achieve and did a fantastic job. I mean, her artwork is transformative. You can't produce artwork like that unless you really enjoy the topic and understand what you're trying to achieve. And so for months, we were going back and forth on the images, and her name was on everything, was on the book, was on everything. And toward the end, we got in touch with the author and publisher of her previous books, her previous children's books, and asked if he would be interested in publishing ours. And immediately there was radio silence, and her counterparts in the US several weeks later got in touch with us and said, listen, this is just too controversial. and we're going to need to pull her name from the book and from, you know, anything related to the book. And if you want to have your high definition images, you'll need to sign a new contract to that effect. So that just goes to show you how incredibly powerful this science is and how important knowing is, because otherwise, why would it be so important to obscure and corrupt it and not allow it, is universally agreed to be taught to children?
Christiane, just hearing you say that makes me feel so guilty that on this program, I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to say, I'm the illustrator. I'm willing to come out. The name Eric Metaxas is not on there. I received no money for this. It was a labor of love. I'm just that talented. I want the world to see what I'm capable of artistically. But I am in the illustrator, and anybody, just because you don't see the name there, doesn't mean I didn't do the work. Okay, so let's continue. You two have created something beautiful, unique. It's called When You Became You. What is the release date? It's already out, isn't it?
November 10th was when
brand new.
It was by the release. Yes, brand new.
Okay.
Just in time for Christmas.
Well, the reach of this show is so vast that you'll see a teeny uptick in sales. Honestly, I believe in what you're doing so strongly. That's why I gave you a blurb for the back of the book. I saw that Ben Shapiro did as well. So Jews and Christians can agree that science is real. That's not such a big thing. Is that a big thing? Now, we've just got about a minute or two left. What else are you working on? Are you working on other projects together, or are you just pushing this book for right now?
We've already started working on book number two in our children's science series. So that's exciting. And we are really going to focus on the first 56 days of a human being's life, which is the most intense period of human development. More than 90% of the 4,500 plus named structures of the adult human body have appeared in that first 56 day period. And yet nobody talks about it. We kind of, again, have denied and corrupted the science for so long. So we're really excited about that. And then Christiane, do you want to talk about science education standards?
Yeah, so our long-term goal is obviously to get human embryology into the classroom. This needs to be in there the way the periodic table is in every chemistry classroom. Nobody should ever graduate high school not knowing when they began and not knowing about the continuum of human life. It's egregious that our children are making uninformed decisions later on, and we can fix this. It's a simple fix. And so we're hoping that states will onboard this into their science education standards.
You two ladies are crazy like foxes. I like that. It's just such a wonderful, it's such a cool thing. Let me ask you, I don't know if you want to say, but what were you doing before you decided to launch this? Because this really is amazing.
So this kind of is completely out of the blue for both of us. Mm-hmm. I have a consulting background, an MBA in finance, and was really looking at this kind of like a consultant would do. And Christiane also has kind of a completely different background, not a science background, but we have an awesome science team and great graphic designers, and we are ready to kind of launch and really get this science out there because it's so important.
And well, so simple.
I was going to say, this is so great. Brooke Stanton, Christiane West are the authors of this book. You now know that I am the illustrator. What more do you need to know, folks? When You Became You, get several copies, give it to people all over the political and theological map, donate it to libraries, and keep your mouth shut about what you think on the issue. This is just science. Ladies, God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Hey there, folks. We talk about a lot of tough stuff lately. We're going through some tough times. One of the things you can do, this is very important. If you're going through a tough time, do something for somebody who is going through a much tougher time. Help somebody who is suffering more than you are. That's an amazing thing to be able to do that. We have an opportunity. We are working again this month, as we have in the past, with CSI, that's Christian Solidarity International, to help free slaves in South Sudan. Now imagine, while we complain about the possibility of entering a dark time in this nation where we're no longer free, imagine while we're having that conversation that there are people today who are actual slaves, because the radical Muslims, whether it's Boko Haram, they have a belief that slavery is okay, and that if you don't believe the way they do, if you're a Christian, for example, they can capture you and enslave you. Now, CSI is working on the ground in places like Southern Sudan, in fact, particularly with Southern Sudan, that's what we're doing, to free slaves. And they have told us that $250 given to CSI helps them to free a slave and to set up that person in a life of freedom. So what do they get? First of all, they have the ability, and I want you to understand how amazing this is, folks, that they have established relationships where they can do this. They can actually buy slaves out of slavery. It's an amazing, amazing thing. It's complicated. We'll talk about it another time. But they do that. Then they set them up with aid, with food, literally buy them a goat. They give them a whole fresh start in life. They get a novitium vaccine for cattle. That is what they do, okay, in order to buy a slave back. If you go to a slave owner in Southern Sudan and say, your cattle are dying, we have a vaccine. We'll give you the vaccine for your cattle if you give us this human being. This is what they have figured out, and it works, and that's what they're doing. That's why we need this money from you. So they do that. They buy the vaccine to get the person back. Then they set them up. They give them a goat, a she-goat, which gives milk. They set them up with a whole survival kit. It involves, you know, a blanket, cooking pots, all kinds of stuff, fishing hooks. They need all these things. Okay, now we need your help, folks. We're going to give you all kinds of stuff as we normally do, but I'm not going to talk about that right now. What I'm going to talk about now is the fact that we need everybody to help. So if you can't give $250, what can you give? There are some people who for Christmas, you say, you know what? What do I need for Christmas? I don't need anything for Christmas. I have everything. Why don't I do this? I will give grandpa in grandpa's name. He doesn't want anything. In his name, I'm going to free four slaves. For $1,000, I can literally free slaves. This is not theoretical. This is not a nice idea. This is not about giving you some big company that does something good. This is about $250 freeing a human being from slavery. Hard even to imagine, but it's true. We'll talk about it more this month, but we want you to help. I'm going to give you the phone number. You can go to our website, metaxastalk.com. It's just important for us to do a good thing when we're going through such a tough time in our country. Do something great for somebody who, without you folks, without you helping them, they are enslaved. We're going to be telling you about this month. But here's a phone number if you prefer a phone number. Go to metaxastalk.com. It's all there. But the phone number is 888-253-3522. I'll say it again. Imagine that you could do this today. Imagine that you have the ability to do this, something this good and this powerful today. 888-253-3522. 888-253-3522. There are people out there who can give $10,000. I say it again, that I'd be delighted to spend an evening with you as a way of thanking you. Anybody out there who can give $10,000, it's my joy. And down the line, folks, this is an amazing opportunity to do good. Please take this opportunity. God bless you.